making, making payments and saving, so more fees are taken. Every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the block of pain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Ryan Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday from 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. and maybe longer in the near future. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Well, it's a blockchain weekend here in Tampa Bay with the grand opening of Blockspace's blockchain incubator. And we'll be speaking to one of the co-founders for a few minutes in about a half hour. That'd be Gabe Higgins, as Rosa Shores is up there probably trying to keep everybody in line, herding all the cats around the big complex up there. And it's a dangerous world. First, Bank of America and Goldman Sachs said cryptocurrencies were a material risk to its business. Now J.P. Morgan Chase joins the club. And Square Processing, for that matter. Hashtag CryptoDad tells the CFTC employees that they can invest in crypto just like his kids. And will Bradenton become the center of the universe for crypto and blockchain? Well, that's a hope here. We'll tell you why I'm aspirationally hoping that in just a moment. But let's see who's in the studio today.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
Just had to let the intro play all the way out. Got to get a few more varieties there. But it's Sabine Priestley, the engineer turned romance, science fiction, fantasy author, and we're happy to have you back live in the studio here. You got so many things. Sometimes you're remote, sometimes you're coming in, you're leaving. What's on the agenda this week?
What's not on the agenda this week? Just more crypto, looking into masternodes. That's kind of my latest obsession, and enjoying this incredibly beautiful weather in Florida.
Well, you brought up masternodes, and, of course, last week we spoke with Joseph Gehrman from J Squared up in Pinellas County. And is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, he sucked me into it, too. Just yesterday, he set up a Crown system node for me, and it supposedly it's already cranking out Crown one little six decimal point at a time.
But now I got to get you a Crown.
Yes. Well, right now they're going for about $2.80, so it won't be a big outlay for your part.
Money is money, right?
But so what attracted you to that whole concept there?
Passive income, in a word. It's building passive income.
Well, someone that knows all kinds of stuff about passive income with that spontaneous segue for me right there. Appreciate that. Well, I don't have the crown for the king of passive income, but Augie's in the studio. How are you doing today, Augie?
Well, with that intro, I've got to get your new music, but it sounds like somebody laboring in the John. But
that'll make you very contrary. You would know, I guess.
Well, some
would. There's a visual I'm not going to get rid of anytime soon.
But when he doesn't lock the restroom door, you'll have a visual for real.
Well, laboring in the John is one thing, but laboring to make virtual currencies is the other. And what's happening, Henry, is something that's kind of interesting. The decline in U.S. productivity is actually producing electrical sources at the various hydroelectric dams that are spotted through the country. And this is a coming thing. Blockchain is the one survivor. The currencies may be in trouble.
Well, That's something that we haven't heard before from you, of course. Right. Anyway.
Well, you have, but in different ways.
The show since last week.
But I'm interested in your node thing, so you need to go into explaining that.
Well, it actually ties into that because you're talking about the mining. We'll get to that later in the show. We've got to move forward a little bit to get to our guests. We've got two guests today. Gabe Higgins, as I said, coming up in a half hour. And then Steve Roberts from Uptick Software in Sarasota, who for a decade and a half has had algorithmic trading software for stocks, equities, in other words, and for foreign currency exchanges. And he is getting ready to roll out a similar product for cryptocurrencies. And we'll be talking to him about that. But just as a tease, his 10-year annualized return is 800% in stocks, which is pretty admirable for most investors. And we'll find out more about that.
Is that 8% a year for 10 years?
That would be 80%, but you have the compounding.
So has he got 80% a year for 10 years?
Actually, if you had 80% a year for 10 years, you would have more than 800%.
Right.
So, but he's outperforming the market. And I'm sure as you looked over your rundown that I sent you last night and you saw the bar graph with the different comparisons to the return on the Dow Jones, you're aware of that. But the most amazing one is how much he outperformed the market in the crash of 2008. But we'll get into all that later. And some of the other teases that I was talking about. We have big news in regards to the Bradenton Bitcoin and cryptocurrency meetup. And in fact, we're going to be expanding into a little bit more aspects of blockchain, too, in the next month and a half to come. But we've been very happy and successful in building the group up at Mocha Joe's, but it's grown to the size that it interferes with the actual purpose of Mocha Joe's restaurant there, and that is selling meals to the customers, to the paying customers. So we are going to relocate the next meetup to 3 o'clock on March 24th to connect Bradenton. And Bernie over there, the director or senior doer, as his business card says, over at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, right at the corner of State Road 64 and 12th Street West. And that's just catty corner to the courthouse, right on Old Main Street, close to everything. We'll be hosting that there. He is very interested in creating a home for all the people interested in crypto and blockchain there. It's a co-work space, lots of stuff going on. We'll have him in the studio next week to tell us what he sees as the future for Bradenton and all this. And we'll be adding a blockchain business and development meetup probably the second or third Wednesday of April. So we'll have the cryptocurrency side on Saturdays, the fourth Saturday of every month like we've been going along. And we'll be adding something more for the business crowd and the developer side of it. And those will be scheduled shortly after the business day in the middle of the week so that businessmen and businesswomen from around the area can make that. And also while we're at it, check out the Facebook pages for the show and also the Minnesota Bitcoin Crypto Club Facebook page. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, is out this week, but he plans on being back next week. But if you want your fill of Andy and Mark Principato, by the way, Mark Principato will be live in person, as the plan is now, March 24th, when we're in Bradenton at the next meetup. So he will be flying down from New York. Can't say it's just for the meetup, but probably as we get closer to it, I'll pretend it is. And we'll have him there. So I've been sending out the little notices. Now, you're familiar with co-work spaces.
Yeah.
And sort of the trendy thing right now. This gentleman, Bernie, has been doing this since 2000.
Yeah. So friends of mine have a workspace over there. It's Station 2. It's an old fire station. And they are in their, they just had their anniversary. I think it's been there 2 years now. But co-working in general, if you research it, there's co-work spaces in St. Pete. I go to a couple of them over there. They're in Sarasota. They're in Tampa. So it's a thing.
Well, and I saw something where it's becoming not only the place to work, but it goes beyond that. It's a new kind of community where everybody's connected on social media. Now, even we have to say the crypto group's WhatsApp application, Augie has jumped in with both thumbs and is just
texting like a teenager.
Like
over
a teenager,
there,
yeah.
But no text like I've ever seen a teenager send. But
he gets a little more esoteric.
Well, it's just because I'm dealing with teenagers. That's it.
You just changed your phone. Have you been able to get WhatsApp up and working? You get
I get it. I have to thank Alex and also this lady Sabine in the studio here for finally getting me squared away on that.
And we're thinking about moving to Telegram now, so we'll drag you there with us. But yeah, the co-work space is more than just a co-work space. It's a community. It's networking. It's for people, not just people like me. So I write and I like to go places and interact with people. Otherwise, I'm alone all the time. But it's also, I mean, the workplace is changing. You know, the Industrial Revolution created the 8-to-5 and the need for 8-to-5, factory workers and offices. And with technology and networking today, you don't have to work in an office.
Well, the space is so available because there's so much of it now, and the retail business is going in the toilet rapidly, and the builders just keep building and wrecking their own economic base. So you have to diversify your leases, and that's the way to do it.
And it allows you to interact with people that you never would before.
Right. Well, this is the old Bank of America building. Sorry to get so local here for the people that are listening on other state.
Henry, I've got to ask you a question. I mean, Bradenton is known as Braden Tucky. Now, is this going to be Braden Crypto Tucky, or what the hell is this?
Well, we'll find out. We'll talk about that next week. But do you go out on Old Main Street in Bradenton?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I lived here all my life, so I remember before there was a mall and when there was just some open strip shopping centers, and downtown, my mom would have me by a hand, dragging me through to the different shops there, and there were people all around. Now, it's not as widespread yet as it was back then, but for 30 years, I heard the city council say, well, we're gonna redo the waterfront, we're going to do this.
Yeah, so you know the sand pit that was there
for a decade. I'll get too in the weeds on local trivia here if I go there. But anyway, I always said, it's going to be a hub and all this stuff. So I was at the workspace this week signing the membership, getting everything set up for the meetups, and I had to meet Jim Delgado, who Augie knows, an old sponsor of the radio show.
Hi, Jim.
Oh, good. So it was a weird experience I've had in Bradenton in a long time, which tells you how tame my life in Bradenton is. But it was 5 minutes till 12, and I'd have to get in my car and go find a parking spot 2 blocks down the road at the restaurant on Old Main Street that he wanted to meet me at. And I was like, I'll never make it, and I'll never find a parking spot. You know, he's got things to do. So I walked 2 blocks, which was just such a foreign concept to me. to walk as a pedestrian somewhere to do something. I can visit my sister in Manhattan and stuff like that. You do it then. But not in Bradenton. You try, and you pull up right in front of the place, and you're out of your air conditioning, and you're not in the...
We got to try going to O'Brick's at 5 o'clock for that martini, because you're going to be walking then.
It was right next to O'Brick's. It was the restaurant Favs or Faves right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing that I was amazed at, there was actually a little galleria in the middle of the building with real shops that were open.
You hadn't been there.
Trying to sell stuff. I knew the restaurants have been there for quite a while, and the nightlife is somewhat...
They are doing it. They're renovating the entire thing, and they're not done. They're going to be redoing the streets, and they're doing a pedestrian walkway all the way to the Village of the Arts.
So Bernie is all in on trying to create a crypto blockchain hub here in Bradenton with the help of myself and whoever else
the
here
brain
wants
trust.
To be part of it. Yes. The crypto mafia.
I mean, no less.
Oh, I like it.
No less the brain, or less brain less.
no trust either. Disclaimer.
At least we're honest about it, right?
Well, there you go.
We'll have him in to talk about it. He's actually going up, which is going to lead into our next guest.
And Jim,
I've totally
we'll be in?
Blown the news segment here.
Well, it's so refreshing.
Here. How unlike me. But he'll be up there. I know Sabine's going up to the Block Spaces grand opening. We're going to talk to Gabe about it at 12:30. Augie has other stuff to do. But I'll be heading up there much later than Sabine because I'll be closing out the show and doing some stuff here. But I'll be up there for the second half of it. I think Andy is going to be up there. Whenever he gets
to... Oh, good.
He was talking about it. Bruce from Crypto Barter Exchange and TradeBank.com, who you'll get to hear more about in the weeks to come, I'm sure, but was at the meetup, is up there. All kinds. Alex, I don't know where he is. Maybe he just blew us off to make sure he'd be there for the start.
You were supposed to be here. I need to help him with this stuff.
Yeah. All right, so let's try and at least get a little news in here.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
I just totally thrown that whole plan out the window while that was playing. We'll get back to a new story. But since we've already lost everybody listening in New York and California with our talk about Bradenton and Tampa Bay, there's local news here right in the studio. And I found out that there is a morning show taking live call-ins here from Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. in the morning. He is Phil Dan. And he asked me, do I know any progressives that would call in and give him hell on the radio? And that's why I've been trying to reach Augie for 3 days. And since he changed his phone and wasn't answering it until he had mastered it all, I wasn't able to tell him. But now, for anybody listening that can pick up the signal or is listening on the live stream, you can get hard right news talk in the morning. So obviously very different from when I was doing the news talk here in the morning for 5 years. With Phil Dan, very unusual guy, Augie, in a good way. I was surprised that he was doing a hard right show because he had helped the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, worked in Democratic politics in Massachusetts and California, and is now over to the other side.
Well, he's a Trumper, and that's what I am not familiar with him. You said he's a follower of Trump. He's a believer. And of course, the wheels are coming off of Trump right now. And, you know, three-wheel bikes have been kind of unstable all along. So when the wheels are caught falling on a three-wheel bike, you've got problems. But nonetheless, you forgot about
that. Well, I just want to tease the audience. Are you going to call in and give him some challenging on the radio?
I've got to hear what he has to say. I'd be glad to do that. You know, I'd like to have a conversation with him ahead of my calling so we know where we are.
Oh, no. That's not the way
I'm not afraid of him, I can tell you that.
Well, I didn't think you were afraid of him, but what's this? Yeah.
Well, I just would like to have
if
he's truly... if he did all the things involving himself with the Sandinistas, then he's familiar with Iran-Contra. He knows all that background. He was there, and he doesn't know what the model for Trump is Reagan. I mean, and that's where that all came from.
I think you should listen to the show and just call in, and you don't need a conversation first. My very first pro wrestling match, the great Malenko came to me in the locker room, and... he told me one thing, and that was the last move of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never met the guy before and was just told to go out there and have a match.
Mm.
And, of course, I went around to the side window to the bad guy's locker room and knocked on it. But it
I mean, you didn't run outside and run down the street, right? I mean, you climbed out the window and run down.
I just went. It was at the old Palmetto Armory.
Yeah. Well, the Schnabel brothers were good... tag team wrestlers back in Chicago way back when, and I used to be a big wrestling fan. We've never had this conversation, so. But yeah, no, I'm you know, I can wade into that, but I don't want to give him too much credit. So.
By the way,
I think it was about how many years ago? 5 years ago, or so that we got together and you came on and we.
Yeah,
I was the host
edge.
And you were the host of the Morning Edge. Yeah, in fact, I'd like to use that as my intro. You may be crazy because that would be more suitable.
I will be happy to do that for you.
So good. I thought I'd throw that in for you, Henry.
All right. Well, as we produce the show on the fly here in the studio today, we will get to one article of news in the crypto world. I think that's what the show is supposed to be about. The U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission has given its employees the green light to invest in cryptocurrencies, according to a report.
Bloomberg reports that the CFTC's general counsel, Daniel Davis, gave the go-ahead in a memo earlier this month, apparently in response to numerous inquiries from employees about whether they could do so. Now, I would guess that it probably has to do with the February 6th testimony of CFTC Chair J. Christopher Giancarlo, where hashtag CryptoDad talked about his kids wanting to get invested in cryptocurrency instead of stocks, and how the new generation coming up wanted to do that. And I'm sure there was talk around the water cooler or whatever they co-work around at the CFTC, the Commodities Future and Trading Commission, saying, well, how come his kids are getting to invest in it? He's the head of this whole place, and we're not getting to do it. That's just me extrapolating, but I'm thinking that might have happened at least once or twice. The members of the agency can now invest in cryptocurrencies. They are prohibited, though, from investing in crypto futures or margin trading, or from using insider information gleaned through their jobs, which I guess is the standard for the other things that they're allowed to invest in. So doing any of those things would involve a conflict of interest. Although there's many contrarians out there, none of which has the name Augie, Angela Watch, associate law professor with St. Mary's University, called the decision mind-boggling and could absolutely skew their regulatory decisions. And you have to remember, it's been ruled to be a commodity and not a currency, and also as a property. Richard Painter, a securities lawyer, former White House ethics lawyer, doesn't say which administration, said the cryptocurrencies are functionally more similar to futures than commodities, and the CFTC should not be allowing its employees to invest in them. It just looks terrible, he said. And law professor at Washington University, Kathleen Clark, said since they're classified as commodities, so she's taking the other point of view, instead of they're not futures, they're commodities, ethics standards seem to be general enough to cover it. So she is the non-contrarian of those three lawyers.
I really want to know, Henry, and I will go and look myself. What is Germany's status on crypto?
It's in the rundown.
Is it? I didn't.
But they have. There is no capital gains event. It's something we've talked about before, and we'll get to it in depth somewhere in between the guests coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tax. Favorable to the consumer. You will not be responsible for recording a capital gains gain when you buy something with your cryptocurrency, no matter what amount is it. We've talked here on the show about if we just do it up to $600 so we could pay for our everyday stuff with
like kind of exchanges then.
No, it's considered a currency, and just as if they'd use the Deutsche Mark.
But when you trade currency for currency, that's like kind.
No, that's not the way the rule is here in the U.S.
I thought I was referring to Germany.
Well, up until this moment, that wasn't.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It wasn't the case. So they ruled now that it will be treated as a currency for tax purposes, which means if you have tremendous capital gains, and since there's no limit on it, you could invest into. If it's purchased at a retail level into a hard asset, so you could have some of those bitcoins you got for $500 at $10,000 now, buy something and not have to pay capital gains tax. Although I think part of this is the value-added tax will be applied on all those transactions.
Is that in the new tax cut, value-added tax?
Pardon me?
Is that been added into the new tax plan?
Well, in
the
Germany, you have a value-added tax,
I know
which is
that.
Like a
yeah.
sales tax that you don't see.
No, I
it's
know.
In the stated price. Well, the audience may not.
All right. So I got confused a little bit.
But if you now here's where your like-kind thing goes. Somehow we started with one news article and we're into another one, but that's fine because at least it flows. It's a like-kind in your terminology when you buy something at the store or some other area with it at the retail level. If you take that same $10,000 of Bitcoin you were going to buy something nice with and you turn it into Deutschmarks, then you have a capital gains.
Oh.
So it isn't a like kind then. So it's
that's
not consistent. We have to get to a break so that we can come back with Gabe Higgins, the co-owner, co-founder of Block Spaces and
Tampa, which is having its grand opening right now. And we will talk to him about what's going on there in just a moment. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow. Some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
The Henry Rain Show here at WWPR 1490 AM in the studio, Sabine Priestley and Augie the Contrarian with the upcoming new intro music next week. And we're having trouble getting a hold of Gabe Higgins at the Block Spaces grand opening, so hopefully he'll call in, but I imagine it's getting pretty hectic up there. And he has other duties to attend to at the moment, but we hope we get to hear from him. And I know that off the air, Augie was making remarks about the stock market had come up in the course of this week. And I try not to take this show political because it's really for anybody interested in blockchain and cryptocurrencies. But you couldn't help but notice that the stock market was moving greatly in one direction downward after President Trump's comments about steel and aluminum tariffs. It has also moved many times based on uncertainty about what the administration is doing. So one of the things that was discussed on CNBC is, would it be sensible to make the Bitcoin much like a gold as a hedge against your stock values? And traditionally, Augie, you can speak to this. Gold has been a hedge against uncertainty in the marketplace. Do you have any thoughts about that as gold? Because you've been involved.
Well, the gold, right now gold's 1330 or thereabouts. And it's what we have got going on right now is what he has effectively done. He's put a threat on the bonds because the bond market, if you're long on bonds, which means you're out 5 years or more, in fact, maybe even 3 years or more, your bond interest rate will be threatened, and the value of your bonds will fall through the floor come October. And that is, and interest rates will have to be jacked up. Right now they're at 2.5% or something like that. You're going to end up seeing a hit on your interest rates, which will affect mortgages.
Boy,
and this is not a good thing.
And so, coming to the Bitcoin argument, is Bitcoin stable like gold seems to be stable? It's a trustworthy backup. It's not tulip bulbs, but what is it? Is it really virtual gold?
Well, that's progress for you, Aki.
Well,
that
you
is
know.
Progress.
The question is there, but somebody offered to give me a virtual hug, and I said, I want the real thing. You know. So.
Okay, I guess I'm getting the analogy, sort of.
It's, and tulips to hugs, okay.
Virtual hug.
Have you been reading my book?
No, I haven't.
Holding my imaginary girlfriend's hand.
Well, you can buy a robot now for that.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the way up, and I was listening to it. Now they have one for...
And if you buy it in Germany, there's no capital gains tax on it.
But there's a lot of other gains, and they have now they have a male...
Yes,
robot.
They do.
Yeah, and that's what the women are looking at, really hard and heavy.
Yeah. It's a selective size, too.
Oh, Bobby, I love you so much. What is your name? I love
Somewhere
you, too.
I was getting ready to say that if you were looking for advice on physical gold and trading that, that Andy Goldbug1 has put up a very good article at SeekingCryptos.com. But it originally started with me attempting to take this to a crypto-related topic, and that is Brian Kelly on CNBC discussed with the people on the panel there. It's a brief clip, but it's enough to get the sense of it, about using Bitcoin.
That's the guy that got in trouble with Joe Scarborough and was kicked off his show early on when he started out. Now he's back in good favor, but he warned about Joe's background, and Joe's background is the death of the secretary in very unusual circumstances.
Well, that's extremely relevant.
I know. Well, you know, you have to extrapolate.
I don't remember him on Morning Joe. See, he was on CNBC. He's a trader.
Yeah, no, he
Joe
was
Morning.
A sit-in guest, and he started to talk about Joe openly what he was really about. This is like in the first week or two.
I can't believe that. I think you must be thinking about somebody else.
No, I'm not.
You'd get kicked all the way off CNBC. You would be out in Des Moines doing your trading analysis.
I'm sorry.
You'd be talking about hog bellies and pork futures.
We are
squirreling today, aren't we?
Well, it's called what do you do when your guest doesn't show up?
Well,
yeah, we were squirreling before that.
The clip that you edited last night for just times like this.
How do you hedge your portfolio against a possible trade war? Well, take a look at this chart. Bitcoin outperforming the broad market this week. So, could Bitcoin possibly be, maybe, any kind of a trade war winner? BK, please break it down for us in a crypto class.
Well, let me make the case for this. So, what happens during a trade war? You get a weaker currency. We saw the dollar fall over the last couple of days when this news came out. You get higher prices or inflation. And generally speaking, what you want to own are hard assets. So, a lot of macro fund managers are out there saying, Paul Tudor Jones saying, I want to own hard assets. The other way that you used to be able to hedge it was with gold. But you know what? Now we have Bitcoin. Bitcoin has a fixed supply. It acts exactly like a hard asset, exactly like a commodity. In fact, some people might even argue it is a commodity. It's the new gold. So in this environment, I want to own those things that are deflationary, fixed supply in an inflationary environment. And look at what Bitcoin's done over the last couple of days. I think people are starting to use this as an asset class that you want to hedge with. So that's my case for Bitcoin in the trade war. I think it does well.
But, Brian, it just seems the volatility in Bitcoin, I hear you. Those things kind of make sense. But it gets back to that store of value, which, by the way, I've never argued Bitcoin to be, okay? So, but it has to be if it's going to be a hedge.
Well, it does have to be, but it's more of a digital gold store of value. Gold has volatility. In fact, earlier this year, before the recent volatility, Bitcoin was less volatile than gold. So it does go through this period. It's an emerging type of currency, so or an emerging store of value.
All right, that was Brian Kelly and the panel on CNBC, courtesy of them. And we probably should set a little bit of context in the pricing. Bitcoin is currently, as we speak this Saturday, trading around $11,400. If we go back for the few weeks, this is where Brian Kelly, I think, was sort of using convenient facts when he says, if you look at the last couple of days, well, actually, for about 3 weeks now, there's been a slow consolidation and uptrend. And if you go back and listen to the shows, especially with Andy's technical analysis of the chart, it was like, well, we got to get past 8,500. Then we went past that. Then we tested the low again or a little bit below that. Then we got to get past 9,500. And then we had to get past 10,500. And then this week, and early in the week, it looked like it was going to go past 11,000, which it did barely. But
it's over 11,000 now.
Yeah. It bounced against 11,200, came back down again.
So on this point, which
well, let me just finish.
Oh, okay.
So going over 11,200 and staying that way for almost 24 hours now, now we're in the next stair step up. And if you're looking and marking your scorecard, that'll be around 12,500, which I think really people will come in to sell off because they've been holding, trying to recover some of their assets, and the next resistance is higher. Go ahead, August.
So if you bought 10 ounces of gold, you'd be at 13,000. Which is close to the price of a Bitcoin, a single Bitcoin,
right.
Which is at 11, a couple thousand difference. So, and you have a stable, and gold is fluctuating in the range of maybe $20 to $50 back and forth. So it's stable.
If you look at the charts, and the because after Andy wrote his column, I went to go and look and see how it was trading and see what options might be available on it. It's traded about up to 20%. In the course of a year, there's been up to a 20% difference.
A year's
value.
Time, sure.
Yeah.
Would, yeah.
If you look at Bitcoin, you just go back a month and a half, and you've got almost a from December, you got a doubling from the low, but they really didn't stay down there that long. But you get a good 50% run over the last few months since really the end of January. So people that are hedging and they're not as risk-averse, it might be a good... No, I'm not giving investment advice. I'm just talking to a particular person.
Well, let me ask you this question, Henry. Bitcoin remains so hard to use that a major Bitcoin conference,
that was the one we were at, North American Bitcoin Conference, and they quit taking it 2 weeks out. But in the as we've told you so many times, Augie, 2 months.
I know
in
hard learning.
Time
I'm hard,
is two
hard
years
learner, yeah.
in human time.
I understand.
So
I really,
it's
yeah.
also
I'm
the,
so
the,
grateful.
The speed of the transactions and the cost of the transactions is now back down lower than it has been in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So times change and they change fast around here.
Well, that's the alleged.
Well, I think the evidence is in there on that. You can't
allegation.
You're trying to tell me that. Things don't change fast in the crypto world?
Oh, exceedingly.
Yeah.
Sometimes talking to Augie is a lot like talking to my almost 17-year-old son.
What's that?
Sometimes talking to you is like talking to my 17-year-old
son. Oh,
really? Going back to the teenage thing.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah.
I mean, you're alleged 17-year-old.
Yeah, that
was. He's not having his second childhood. He's having his second adolescence. I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Henry Rain Show, and that's Alcova Massage. We're going to welcome her by playing her commercial, and we'll be back on the other side with more crypto news. 1 o'clock, Steve Roberts from Uptick Software, if things go as planned.